two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
And welcome on into the greenhouse on a beautiful Saturday morning. If you're expecting the lovely voice of Maria Chaleos, hate to disappoint you, but Maria's got the day off. I'm Dave Meekham sitting in for Maria, and of course, along for the ride is a USU gardening genius, Ton Bettis. Good morning, Ton.
Good morning. I hope my wife was listening.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, but she would just say, only with gardening. So, no. No, how are you doing?
That giant eye roll. Yeah,
yes.
I know. I'm doing really well. It's fun to be back in here with you, Ton.
It's fun to be back. The KSL Greenhouse with dad jokes.
That's we are. That's kind of true, yeah. Well, Father's Day is coming. It's okay. I think we have an allowance.
Yes.
I have a complaint, though, Ton.
Uh-oh.
A week ago, I was enjoying this nice, cool weather in the low 40s. And what a difference a week makes. What, a 50-degree difference in the temperature? Holy moly, what's going on?
Well, climate scientists, and I'm not going into global climate change, but locally, weather tracking has shown that our local weather has changed over the last 10 or 12 years to where our springs were, you know, a lot of times by Easter, we were in the 70s consistently, have changed to where we have a lot cooler spring weather. And then around the 1st of June to sometimes mid-June, all of the sudden, the weather goes from the 50s and 60s up into 80s and 90s, and there is not a long transition. And so even though we weren't really wet this year, I think that this sudden temperature change, although it was a little more drastic, has become more expected just because of we'll just call it the vagaries of the weather. Over the last 10 or 12 years.
It's just a nice slap upside your head from Mother Nature, you know.
Like, yeah.
Oh, wow. And, okay. Summer.
Yeah. So I think that a lot of times people get blindsided because, you know, when we're in the 50s and 60s and low 70s, watering your lawn once a week to every 10 days is great. You know, your lawn will never look better than about the 1st of June during the entire year.
Yeah.
And we start getting a lot of calls in the office from people saying, well, my lawn was green and just overnight it turned brown. And it's just, you know, brown patches everywhere. And it's just that the lawn was dry, but tolerating being dry because it was cool and its water needs weren't that great. But all of a sudden at 90 degrees, it has to ramp up how much water it's using to stay alive. And if there's not an available pool of water in the soil, no pun intended there, the lawn goes immediately dormant. And in nature, that's what it normally would do. Kentucky bluegrass greens up in the spring and fall in the wild and is dormant during the summer. But because right. we provide it water, it stays green. And so Maria and I last week talked about watering your lawn in and making sure that you don't want to overwater, but you need to make sure and have a nice bank of water in the soil so the grass can adjust to the hotter weather.
Right. And it's not just the grass that's going to have trouble. Other plants are, I mean, that's a shock to a lot of plants, right?
It is. You know, and a lot of times the things we grow, it's not like your entire yard just wilts down, you know, because a lot of things besides the grass will be a little bit more deeply rooted. But you will start running into tricolor beech and Japanese maples. Other variegated plants like Drummond maple will all of a sudden start to scorch because of the hot, dry weather. And you quickly find out what plants may not be completely adapted that we try to grow when that temperature swing happens.
Yeah, and you and I talked about this. We're kind of in an interesting time of year, not only because of the weather changing, but when to plant, what to plant, kind of questions that people are going to have today. And you and I were talking last night, and I just barely got my tomatoes in, and I was kind of glad that I was a little bit late this year, and I was kind of glad for that because we had that huge windstorm, we had that cold snap, and it's been kind of rough on the tomatoes if they weren't protected.
Yeah, I got mine in about 3 weeks ago, and I put in a trellising system, and the intent is to keep feeding the leaders of the tomato, you know, up through my trellis. And what happened, and I finally had to go out there and kind of secure them, but when the wind would blow back and forth, because I live right within a couple of miles of mountains, and so I get east winds and north winds and south winds all on the same day, is it was literally whipping the tops of my tomatoes off the leader. And the plants were looking okay, but the top quarter of them was just beat to death. You know, my green beans, I have planted through plastic. I didn't get the plastic pinned down wide enough, and the plastic beating up and down killed all the seedlings. And so there's been a lot of problems with gardens that have, you know, that especially if people aren't used to gardening in the wind, that just has been really problematic.
Right. So I anticipate there's going to be a lot of questions about weather today. And if you have one of those questions, give us a call at 575-KSL-TALK, 575-8255. And that's going to be a great time for you to call in or first thing in the morning, because this is the time when the lines are a little bit less crowded. We do have a few folks waiting on the line, Ton. Brett, Angie, and Denny are all on the lines already. And we're going to come back on the other side of this break, and we're going to take their calls and help them answer their questions. But if you have a question now, like I said, it's the great time to get in and jump in line, and we'll get your question answered. And we'll be back on the other side of this break and start taking some calls here on The Greenhouse Show.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. And we promised to jump out to your calls. That's exactly what we're going to do. Ton, let's first talk with Denny, who's calling in for Murray. And Denny, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you. Very well. Very warm, too.
Aren't we all, right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in. You've got a question about a problem with some leaves on your red bud. Is that right?
Yeah, I have two types of red bud. They're about 50 feet apart. The one is has the beautiful purple leaf, and the other has the green leaf. And this spring, when they blossomed out, the one with the green leaves, the blossoms started dying prematurely, and now the leaves have a curl to them. I was thinking maybe it may have a a bug, but as I unfurled the leaf, there's no signs of any bugs or anything, but it really looks sick. The purple one is doing very well right now, but like I say, they're about 50 feet apart. Need some help there, plus one other question when you answer this one.
Okay, so first question is, has a dandelion or lawnweed killer been put down on your lawn
in the last month or so? No, I've fertilized the lawn with
weed and feed.
Weed and feed.
Okay.
But I was nowhere near it.
Okay. And then have you seen any of the neighbors having lawn companies or anything come in spraying during wind or anything like that?
No, I have not.
Okay, because oftentimes, the reason I'm going this direction is oftentimes if you see leaf curling on a tree and it's the entire tree or the majority of it and there's no aphids in there,
no.
The next most logical thing is herbicide damage. And we've been so windy lately that I've been actually taking quite a few calls on people saying, why are my tree's leaves all curled up? And it looks interestingly like 2,4-D or dicamba damage. And with the winds we've had the last couple of weeks, it's really the potential for that 2,4-D to go, you know, for half mile or a mile is there.
Oh, really?
And so, yes. And so in these winds, and it'll bounce and drift in the wind, and it's really common for one tree to be affected by it and not another. Now, I'm not saying 100% that this is 2,4-D damage, but with the flowers being a little bit funny and then the leaves coming out curled, a lot of the symptoms match.
I see.
You know, if it's something viral or, you know, there's some other potential things that you really can't do much about, including 2,4-D damage. But all I would really do is just make sure that the tree gets adequate water. You might try just a light fertilization, just like maybe a half of a cup of lawn fertilizer under the drip line of the tree, and watch the new growth. And if the new growth comes out more damage or less damage, but all you can really do at this point is let the tree grow through it.
Okay, okay. That's what I'll do then. Because even now, even the new leaves have the curl on them. And I've noticed this in the last 3 weeks. About 3 weeks is when the blossoms started dying and the leaves started curling. So, but now even the new growth has the curling leaf. So
yeah.
My last question is, when do we spray for peach borer?
What I'm going to suggest doing, and normally the date's usually early to mid-June, you're going to want to use permethrin. That will last about a month, especially if you get like the high-yield farm and garden spray. They have such silly names for their stuff. They almost like just look at the label and everything on the label goes on the name of the product. Anyway, that permethrin will last around a month, or if you wanted to go organic, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew lasts about a week to 10 days.
Okay.
And
Captain,
so,
I got some Captain Jack, so that should
okay.
Be.
That'll give you about a week to 10 days, but with that product, you use about twice as much per application and you're applying three times as much. And so it's going to cost you a lot more per unit sprayed as like the permethrin.
How do you spell that permethrin?
P-E-R-M-E-T-H-R-I-N.
R-I-N.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And so subscribe to the USU Pest Lab updates. If you Google USU fruit tree updates, you
yeah.
can go to a subscription page and they will email you down to the day by county, or if you're in Utah County by location, when to apply that. But if you were to put permethrin down in early June, that would get you through the month, and just kind of put on your calendar every 30 days to get that. And you spray the trunk, lower limbs, and especially around the base of the tree. And it's not that you want the stuff running off the tree, but you want to do a thorough application.
Okay, so how that's far enough away from harvest it won't hurt.
You're not spraying it on the fruit, so it doesn't matter because it's not systemic.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
you're
Danny,
welcome.
Good luck, and thanks for calling us up, and hopefully that works for you. And I want to echo what Ton said about the emails that you get from the extension. There are different topical areas, and you get those emails from Ton, and they are fantastic. And the fruit tree are especially valuable because you guys are monitoring what's coming and when.
We are. Marion Murray puts both conventional, which we would just call normal non-organic pesticides, and she puts organic options on there. And so if you're kind of leery of doing a permethrin spray, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew is organic, and she puts those options on there. And so she covers her bases for both, you know, crowds that are just, you know, wanting to maintain their fruit trees properly.
Okay, let's. We're getting close to the bottom of the hour. Time for another call here, though. Brett's calling in from Sandy, and Brett, you've got a question about one of my favorite topics, tomatoes.
Hello,
are you there, Brett?
Yes, I'm here. I planted three different varieties of tomatoes, and the tops of the tomatoes are starting to curl. It started just on one end, and it's gone through all of the three varieties. So.
I'm going to ask the same questions I did with the red bud. Has anybody put down weed and feed or a lawn weed killer?
Not that I know of.
In your yard or neighbors?
I mean, no.
The way to know is if the neighbor's lawns don't have a weed in them, it's unnatural. And you know that a lawn company did apply a lawn weed killer.
Uh-huh.
So if every tomato is curling at the same time, wind can do that to new growth. And herbicide damage can do that to new growth. So, you know, hopefully
like say,
it's wind.
Yeah, like I say, I don't know. The people right in back of me don't even have a lawn.
And well, and this I stuff can drift for hundreds of yards. And so, you know, it's more common to have it closer. Now, did you say it's every tomato?
Yeah, it started, like I say, at one end, and it's gone through all of them.
Okay, because it is time for curly top to start showing up within the next week or two, which is another tomato disease that's spread by a thrip that comes through beet leaf hopper, and it can be spread by thrips and aphids too. But I'm hoping you don't have curly top, because curly top, the leaves will start to curl and turn yellow. And it doesn't quite kill the plant. It'll take the plant several weeks to die. And what will happen is the fruit will start to ripen prematurely, and it tastes really bad.
Really?
So curly top is another potential problem, but of the three problems, wind is preferable. 2,4-D, the tomatoes will often go through. Curly top, they don't.
Okay. You can't spray anything for curly top?
No. I mean, it just takes one strike. And so even if you used a systemic that killed everything that put their little mouth parts into your tomato, it would still get the virus if the beet leaf hopper is carrying it. So all you can really do at this point is if you start to see plants yellowing out, just get a shovel and rogue them out or just pull them out. But if it's progressing down the line, that's usually not how diseases spread in nature, because it'll be a tomato here and a tomato there.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if it's more something environmental or something that an herbicide that's been applied somewhere in the neighborhood.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay, well, I'll just watch it. Okay.
Thanks for that call, Brett. Hopefully that works out well for you. Nothing worse than tomato diseases, and some of them are really tricky, but... Thanks for calling. And, Ton, time for us to break. We're going to take a break here before some news at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll be back with more on The Greenhouse Show. If you've got a question in the meantime, give us a call. KSL Talk is the line. We'll be right back after news and traffic and weather.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.